Fuck.
I've just dribbled all down myself, man. I've just dribbled all down myself, and I've pulled a classic Bjorn and just not moved out the way. You know what I mean? Now I'm going to T-pose because I'm all wet. Fucking hell, mate. Are you all right? You sound a little weird.
Do I?
Do I sound weird?
No.
Oh, fuck. Maybe it's somewhat on my end. Or maybe it's just that this is what 81,000 downloads sounds like.
Let's start the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Every Movie Ever podcast. My name is Ben Gross.
And my name is Rob McFarlane. Welcome to the show, a movie podcast / mental health check-in for two broken-brained best friends.
Broken brain!
Talking around their problems, but not about their problems, whilst, you know, laughing at movies. So yeah. Given that this is a thinly veiled mental health check-in, Ben, before I get to what we're doing, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good.
Yeah?
I've had an entire week off work.
Nice.
So, naturally, I had all these plans to be sort of like, I'm going to get my life admin in done. I'm going to get
this.
You
are a time optimist. You're like, I've got 4 days. I'm going to build Rome.
Yes, essentially that. I'm going to be Remus and Romulus. No. I've done nothing. I've done nothing but podcast the entire time. My life is still on fire. But... Yeah. Podcast is up to date, you know what I mean? So that's good.
Yeah, yeah. We've slated a really busy... Well, I'm good. I'm a little bit under it. We've got lots of things that I'm going to be really happy once they're out. It just so happens that all of them are happening this weekend.
Yes.
And I've got a job interview coming up, and I've not wanted anything as much as I've wanted this job for a very long time, and it's made me very nervous. And so I've got two edits on the go at the moment. We're recording a current episode.
Right.
We've got two interviews on the slate.
Yes.
Got to get like stuff prepped for this interview. And we are reviewing the newest film we've ever spoken about on the podcast. This is less than 48 hours old.
Yeah. Yeah. This is brand new territory for us. Now, we were going to do... a spoiler-free review. We were going to keep it light. We were going to keep this.
We just tried that.
We just tried it. We've just had to literally delete a recording and go, you know what?
Awful.
Fuck it.
Awful.
What's the point? Yeah. There's too much to talk about. So this is straight off the fucking top of the bat. This is your spoiler warning.
Mm-hmm.
This film is brand new. It came out 2 days ago. We've seen it twice each.
Yeah.
We need to talk about it.
If you're anything like us, you're going to come out of the cinema and you're going to be really, really confused, and you're going to be questioning what you just saw and whether you enjoyed it, because there's lots in there to love.
Loads to love.
There's lots in there to hate, and it's blended together into a fine paste.
Yeah.
And Ben and I have seen it twice now. We saw it on the day of release. We saw it again yesterday. We're recording the very next morning, and we hope that you can go to the cinema, pop this on, and go... Oh, okay, that's what I watched.
Yes.
As far as these guys see it.
Yes.
Ben, what are we talking about?
Today, buddy, we are finally at the final episode of our mainline Alien series, for now.
Yep.
With the brand spanking new Romulus!
Alien Romulus! It's a weird feeling, man. I'm going to be sad to leave Alien behind.
Same.
I'm also not that keen to do Alien versus Predator or Prometheus or Alien Covenant because they're prequels and crossovers and...
The prequels can fuck off. The crossovers I'm into. They're stupid as shit.
Okay.
I'm all down for them all day,
well,
every day.
Let it down the line. Let's do Predator.
Yes.
And then we can do Alien versus Predator. Yeah. Yes. Have a little annual dip into this universe. I'm up for that because we've got
some
big fans. For people who are fans of this universe, what we're about to do next is going to be just as much in your wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a lot to cover this episode.
Let's get into it.
I want to get into how we got here. How did we get here, Ben? How did we get here? Do you remember how we got here?
How we got here?
Yeah, with Alien Romulus, not sat on a podcast.
I was going to say, because like, I imagine at some point, Fred and Dawn had a couple of drinks. And there's a glint in an eye, you know what I mean?
I thought you were immaculately conceived.
No, pure mistake, baby. Pure mistake, baby.
No, I meant with Alien Romulus, mate.
Got
but
you.
Yeah, okay.
Got you. Oh, that's what we're doing in the episode.
Yes.
Got you. Oh, I should be reading the notes.
What else are we covering?
What does Romulus bring to the table for the Alien franchise?
And has Fede Alvarez lived up to the expectations for the franchise, for the fandom, for us? I've got mixed answers to that.
I've got a whole fucking Fede segment that we're going to get into, mate. Fede segment, right?
The Federation.
Yeah. I'm doing my part.
There's not a single Romulan on this fucking movie, is there? I fucking hate Star Wars.
Fucking stupid. Where's Spock and Glup Shitto? You know what I mean? Where are they?
Boba Fett killed him, mate.
Oh.
$80 million this film cost. $80 million.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be your guy in the chair for you, Ben.
Go on.
Just a quick Google.
Yeah.
Right, Batman. This has made $42 million.
Fucking hell.
This weekend.
Fucking hell. Yeah, fair.
So unless everyone that wants to see it has seen it this weekend, I think it's gonna make its money back.
It's gonna do great. Everyone's loving the film. Everyone's coming out of the theater saying this is super fun. What a great experience. Yeah. I've loved everything about it. And you know, awesome. Fucking super grateful and a little bit jealous of everyone that's doing that.
A little bit jealous. Yeah. I've been talking to you since we came out of the cinema, and it has been nothing but rage for 48 hours.
It's been yelling and voice notes essentially for 2 days.
But we've covered every entry in the main franchise, and
we have.
It's the finale. So let's do the spoiler warning again.
Spoilers.
Because it's tradition.
Spoilers. Brand new film. If you've not seen it, pause the show. Go to the cinema.
Yeah.
Watch it. Support it.
And then?
And then come back and listen.
Come back, because we're about to literally, scene by scene, go through what happens in this movie. Yeah. So you know why we're talking about what we're talking about.
Sure.
Do you want to do part one or part two, babe?
I'm going to go for part two, please, buddy. We're having a
breakdown. Part one, it's raining, it's pouring. This colony is fucking boring.
Thank you.
I loved the colony.
Colony's great.
Rain and her synthetic brother Andy are citizens of Jackson, a bleak, miserable Wayland Yutani mining colony 65 light years from Earth.
Middle of nowhere.
Like Telford. After being denied permission to leave the colony for heavenly sun planet Ivarga, even though she's met a minimum hours for quota, but the Wayland Yutani being bastards. And they double Rain's required hours before she can be granted permission to leave.
Absolute bastards.
Because, you know, worker shortage. They're all dying. Bastards.
Bastards.
Just as this bad news is setting in, though, Rain gets a call from her mate, Tyler, asking her to come by his trailer and do her old gang of mates a favour. They've all got really deep personalities, by the way. Like, one's pregnant.
Yeah.
One's a dickhead.
Ooh.
One's Asian.
Didn't see that coming.
Right. They explain that floating above their heads is a decommissioned Wayland ship that has enough cryopods to make the 9-year trip to Ivarga.
Sure.
Without having to slave away in the mines in the next couple of years. They just need Andy, who, being a recommissioned Wayland synthetic, speaks the ship's operating system language, Mother, and will be able to get them aboard the decommissioned ship, no trouble. Hesitant but desperate to get out of the colony, Rain reluctantly agrees, and they set off literally immediately.
That moment. It's a that moment. You're in, yeah? Sick.
Yeah, yeah.
Pop your seatbelt on. Part two, the mythical twins of Rome. Turns out it's not a ship drifting above their heads. It's a massive fuck-off space station that I need to break character for a moment here. How the fuck does a Wayland Yutani mining corporation not have one single fucking radar that goes, hold on a sec, there is a massive fucking ship above our heads right now, but two cunts in a fucking trailer are just sort of like, there's summit.
Because, Ben, you juvenile, you idiot, you fool.
Yeah.
Something really important, like that, I don't know, the Large Hadron Collider.
Sure.
They just call to let everyone know how it's going.
Got you.
And if you don't hear a call, you just assume it's fine.
Right.
Do you know where the Large Hadron Collider is right now, Ben?
It might be floating above the fucking west coast of the States with two surfers going, hey, there might be a little ship up there with a God particle on it. Want to go and have a look-see about it?
Yeah.
And no other cunt is ever going to know about it. Fuck off. Anyway, sorry. So it's a massive fuck-off space station. And this band of ambitious rapscallions with a personal synthetic are the only ones who know about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. docking their ship onto this enormous space station, they discover it is the Romulus slash Remus, but it doesn't seem as decommissioned as once thought.
No.
Half the gang
really not.
Make their way through the station, finding the cryopods, but uh-oh! There's not enough fuel to make the 9-year trip to Ivarga, but thanks to a fucking fancy thermometer, they find out that there's an entire cryo lab that will have the fuel needed just around the corner.
The fuel's cold, man. Come on.
Yeah, sure. But so is space. You know what I mean?
Thermometers are famously able to be used as maps.
Yeah, exactly.
You speak like a man who's never got lost.
I'm such a fucking idiot.
The number of times I just pull out my weather app.
Yeah, this is what I mean.
It's 21 degrees. I should go this way.
Yeah, fuck off. The cryo lab is a horror show. A half-melted synthetic on the ground and a fuck ton of facehuggers in a paddling pool. Trying to retrieve the fuel, they accidentally revive the gaggle of facehuggers that have been frozen and they lock themselves in the room.
They do.
Andy gets a chip from a half-melted synthetic, Rook, to upgrade his security access, but unbeknownst to the rest of the pirate gang. This also upgrades his prime directive, making him loyal to the Weyland-Yutani Corporation.
There are problems with the plot. There are problems with the plot. And we've got them in the breakdown. I'm not as angry at this film as this breakdown might make it seem.
Yeah, me neither.
Anyway, part three, run.
Run.
From the cinema.
Leave. Go home.
No,
I'm joking.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Loved it. Great film.
As the group flees the chamber, a facehugger latches on to their Asian pilot. Remember them from the gang?
Sure.
Their whole thing was that they were Asian.
Yeah.
Rain reactivates Rook, the melted synthesizer, for information on how to remove said xenomorph. And he gives us all the backstory we need, tells them why the ship is there, tells them what they were up to.
Pure exposition dump. Let's just get it out.
Doesn't tell her how to remove the facehugger. She comes up with that on her own a couple of seconds later.
Yep.
And Andy quite rightly points out that she's probably not safe to fly now that she's, you know, with Alien.
Yeah.
So they try and flee because Andy gets all hostile. So pregnant, remember her from the gang?
Yeah.
Asian, remember her?
Is that the Asian one?
Dick face. Dick face. The one who's just always a dick.
Yeah.
They reboard their ship and bang, Alien comes knocking. Back of that ribcage, record time.
They know it's an alien because she's got that torch that she puts on her neck and it illuminates her entire body cavity.
I thought that was cool as fuck and I won't hear a bad word said against it. I actually thoroughly enjoyed that.
Yeah, definitely.
The escapees, they crash right back into the station they just left, the fucking idiots. And then queue up the fastest transformation into full-fledged alien you've ever seen with a wall vagina at one point.
Yeah.
That drips acid onto a totally stationary and pretty much nonplussed dick face underneath. You just sort of...
Can't move out of the way, mate. You know what I mean? You dribble something on you, that's it. You're wet. That's it. That's the only option.
It's a large remove from Alien Resurrection, where there's the exact same scene of dripping acid.
Yeah.
And there's that beautiful shot where the camera flies down the hallway, does a spin.
Yeah.
And he screams in pain.
Yeah.
This is more of like a, oh no, my t-shirt.
Oh, my fucking t-shirt. My fucking t-shirt. My fingers are fucking melted, mate. Also, t-poles.
Rain, Andy, and her mate now have to make it across the station to the crash ship to rescue pregnant and survive untampered by alien dingle dongles.
Yeah.
Meeting pregnant at the hangar door, Andy refuses to risk everyone's life by unlocking the door.
Smart.
And she's dragged away, presumably dead.
Yeah.
Shocked by Andy's newfound coldness, Rain asks him to repeat his prime directive, and he openly admits he is now a company man through and through.
Yeah.
He's even got a little side quest for them.
Taking them to the heart of the station, he retrieves that mystical goop from Prometheus, which everyone knows and loves, extracted from the xenomorph only a brief 500 years before Ripley endures a never-ending cycle of failed attempts to clone her.
I'm just saying.
It's fucking insane.
In their time, this is like medieval.
Yes.
From resurrection times. And that, like, by attempt 7... they'd got as far as Mattress Monster with a face on Ripley.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to believe that, like, bows and arrows people. Yeah.
Yeah. 500 years in the past, Rook is like, I'm just going to extract this Prometheus goop from a xenomorph that's been fucking... that's been frozen in space. And then also, now I can manufacture facehuggers from it.
Yeah, just 3D print a facehugger.
But this is what I'm saying, though, because that's like taking blood from me during a blood test and then being able to, I don't know, fucking make chimps. It's a different fucking evolutionary point. You know what I mean? I don't understand it. It doesn't matter, though, because fucking Fede. You know what I mean?
Join the Federation, man.
That's it. Do your part. Now gooed up, the gang rescue pregnant who wasn't killed, nor implanted, not done anything with, just sort of filed away like an overdue bill in a drawer.
We've all got them. I've got some red notices in a drawer that I don't open. I see it and I'm like, I'm too poor, and I just put it away and I go, if I don't read it, it's not real.
See, yeah. I don't even do that. I burn mine in a bin in the garden. I've got a metal bin that I burn all my stuff in. There you go. Suddenly, there's 19 xenomorphs just mooching about. They've been there the whole time. As soon as they're introduced, Rain shoots them to shit. Them all running eagerly into her gunfire like children in a queue for sweets. Rain, Andy, and Pregnant make it back to the ship, and all is well as the station bumps and grinds its way into a planetary ice ring, destroying all the horror.
Yeah, except, oops, because Pregnant, as we pointed out, didn't do anything, did she? So, fuck it, let's just have her inject the goo.
Yeah.
That she's only ever seen used on a mouse. She's not even seen it used on a mouse. Andy the android was like, this worked on a mouse and you share 20% of DNA with a mouse. So fuck it. There's chances.
They were all stood in the same room where that experiment went horribly wrong and not one person decided to watch the end of the video or look a little bit to the right where the fucking mutated mouse was.
I've got reasons as to why that's perfectly perfectly logical.
Of course you do. It's fine. We'll get to it.
She's all hopped up on goo. You know, she's chasing the goo dragon.
Yeah.
And as a result, her baby becomes a sort of fucked up egg monster that immediately grows into a 10-foot tall Slenderman, Xenomorph, Slendermorph.
Yeah, a Slendermorph.
We're doing Alien Resurrection again, basically, with added Prometheus.
Yeah.
So, Ben, this is your breakdown, and you didn't enjoy the film, I'm guessing.
Look.
You're really angry about it.
I'm not angry about it at all, right? I'm more upset in myself. For those of you that are regular listeners, you know that I have a love-hate relationship with Fede Alvarez.
You do.
He loves making films. I hate Fede Alvarez. But... he's taken some franchises that I know and love. He took The Evil Dead and he just disrespected it and made whatever the fuck he wanted. Fair play, you know, make a film. It was a great horror film, just a shit Evil Dead film.
Yeah.
He wrote Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the latest one. It's a great film, just a shit Texas Chainsaw Massacre film. Right. Now he gets given fucking Alien. And I was like, this might be the one where I'm proved wrong. This might be the one where Fede's like, listen, cunt, I know exactly what you think of me. Watch me, let me cook.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me cook. And I did let him cook. And what did he cook up? A gorgeous looking piece of shit.
I don't think it's a piece of shit. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I enjoyed it with some choices that I really didn't appreciate. But I think we run the risk.
I had a fun time. And it's a gorgeous film.
We run the risk, and I'm going to come back to this later, of being old men shouting at clouds.
Yeah.
Going, stop enjoying yourself. You're enjoying yourself wrong.
No.
Because you're not enjoying yourself the same way that I did because things have changed.
No. Okay. I'm borderline there, but I'm more like...
What's with all this rap music? Stop doing it.
Because I'm not enjoying myself. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah,
I'm glad that you're enjoying yourself and that everyone else is having a great time. I'm not, and I'm upset about it.
Okay.
Change everything you're doing. To suit me,
to please me. Okay, yeah, great. That lines up perfectly with what I'm coming back to later. Right.
This film's got loads to love. Loads to love.
It really does. That there are people on this film who aren't Fede Alvarez.
Yeah.
Benjamin Wolfish does the score.
Oh.
And it's like, it's got nods to both Alien and Aliens.
Yeah.
It's scores got in there.
Dude, there's like little pieces of like Star Wars sprinkled in. There's the almost playful tones. It's almost Spielberg-y in places. It's fucking gorgeous.
Right?
Incredible.
Lee Gilmore's sound design. Like the ship sounds incredible.
Fucking mind-blowingly good sound effects. B, there's one moment where the fucking ship crashes into a hangar and the screech in the IMAX cinema vibrated my eyeballs. I was like, I can never do that again.
I used to have fillings.
Yeah, legitimately. It was the loudest thing I've ever heard. And it felt like the speaker was in my fucking brain. It was horrendous. But it was incredible. Honestly, score's insane. Sound effects is insane. The look of this film, like the...
Oh, it's beautiful.
There's not a frame in this film that isn't gorgeous. Every single fucking thing is like an A4 poster for a fucking 1999 Windows like screensaver. Do you know what I mean?
They've done that wonderful thing that the originals did, which is they've taken a space that has been designed by an architect and an interior designer to be incredibly minimalist.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's then been lived in for 20, 30 years.
Yes.
And it's covered in human mess and clutter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just normal day-to-day messy shit.
So you're looking at a set and you're seeing the influence of more than one person. It's not just, I designed this space and everyone is living in it as I intended. It's, I designed this space to be futuristic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now 50 years later and people have scribbled on the walls. Yep. And there's coffee cups everywhere.
Yep.
And just random shit that's just a pile of stuff you'll get to one day when you have some time off.
Everything about it, it looks believable. It looks and it feels gorgeous the entire way through the film. There is not a beat that it misses.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I will say is that I struggled with the story of the film.
Yeah.
It sounds incredible. It looks incredible. The Andy is fucking incredible. Mm. Best character in this film is the synthetic droid.
I agree with you that he's the best character. The actor, I loved what he was doing with his body.
Yep.
I loved that he was subconsciously giving me that android vibe.
Yeah.
With the way he moved, the sort of mechanization.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the film, I did find his face, his one face.
Okay.
Because he's got a facial expression in this film that is very much set in stone. And I can only describe it as the face you might make when you go for a wee and you know you have a bladder infection. It's that sort of slightly sad, slightly panicked,
but almost relief,
but almost like resigned to your fate.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't know if David Johnson is doing that face or if that just is David Johnson's face. And if it's the latter, I'm very sorry, David, but you do look like you're about to have an uncomfortable wee.
I've seen him in interviews and he is like,
right,
hands down, just a fucking incredible actor. Like, fucking incredible. Okay,
brilliant. Brilliant. I'm glad.
Like you've just said, everything about him is very androidy, but he has this insane, for the first part of the film before he gets his upgrade, he has this insane innocence about him. He's very childlike. He's very pure. He's very sort of like agreeable. And then when he gets his upgrade, all of a sudden, he's bolt upright, his posture's perfect, he's running like a fucking pro athlete, he's strong as shit.
Well, mate, he's a strong boy.
As shit. He's a fucking strong boy.
He's a strong boy.
And then he gets super cold.
Yeah.
Super like, fuck you, this is logical. And I'm like, oh my God, this is what this film needs. Logic. And Andy's the one that's going to give it me. And he does. All the fucking way through this nonsensical mess. Mm-hmm. Andy's the one beacon. He's the lighthouse at the end of the shit sea where I'm like, that makes sense. He's talking sense.
Right. Okay. Again, I'm going to differ with you there. I liked all the crew. I know you say they're 2D. I know you say that there's not much to them.
Paper thin.
But here's the thing. There's five of the fuckers. How much do you know about the crew in the original Alien?
I know that two of them are motivated by money and are upset with the wage that they're getting and the shares that they're receiving.
And what else?
And are willing to fuck up their entire operation that they're working on for the rest of the crew unless they get more shares. Then they're really dickish and sly about it. You know that from them. They're like quite Weasley. They're quite ratty, right? You get that just from sort of like a couple lines of dialogue.
Yeah, and I would argue that this crew do the exact same thing. I think what has happened with this film is it has got lots of stuff that's perfectly fine in a great movie. In a great movie, these characters are fine because they do the job. They're shorthand. You understand they each have stakes. This one is pregnant and she doesn't want to give birth to a child and have it grow up on a fucking hell world.
Right.
I know what she's doing, right?
But that's it, though. And then she just goes to sleep for the rest of the film until she's needed for exposition. Like, that's
but
it.
But that's not the fault of the first third of the movie.
No, of course not.
My whole thing with this is that for that first 40 minutes, right up until Ian, hold the fuck up, what is that? Why am I looking at it? Turns up on screen as Rook the android.
Yeah.
I was fully on board because I was like, it's going to be a crew of young teenagers who make stupid teenage decisions and act in stupid teenage ways, which explains a lot of the issues you have about why do they do this, why do they do that. I go, because they're morons. They're uneducated young idiots.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thin backstories and all that kind of stuff could have been fleshed out if we'd had the time, because it was just them and one Xenomorph, and they have to get across the station to get back to their ship.
It would have been perfect. Would have been perfect.
Would have been.
But the thing is,
we came really close to having that.
Yeah, really close. And instead of what he did is, instead of giving them the backstory and the motivations and the sort of the tie-ins and all this stuff, is he's just gone, that's my cousin, he's a dickhead. And then that's it. He's a cousin dickhead. And then that's the entire arc. And you're like, oh,
yeah,
this is it. So when cousin dickhead gets melted, I'm like, so?
There is the seed there of the best alien film yet. By the time you get to hour one, it's died. It's died in the pot. Because you've got...
Hour one?
At the end of the first hour, it's already dead.
Sure.
Because you've got a weird mix of callbacks
right
to the original.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this android looks like Ian Holm.
Okay.
But then it's also bringing in the Prometheus goo, and it's trying to be a sequel to every alien film ever.
Yes.
All at once.
Yes.
Bring it all in together.
Yes.
Rather than just doing, as much as J.J. Abrams gets shit for what he did with Rise of Skywalker, if you look at The Force Awakens, if you look at his Star Trek reboot,
yeah,
he's really good at going, we're just going to do the thing they love again with modern effects and different people. And it's the shot in the arm that a franchise needs.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams should be hired for issue one of every story and then let competent people who know how to finish stories take it over. This just needed to be Alien 1979 with some young teenagers and a wicked xenomorph, and it would have been my perfect movie.
The thing that's upsetting is if you look to like comic books and the book, the extended universe of Aliens, there are so many, so many interesting stories with real stakes and real well, like fleshed out characters already written. Like they're there just for the taking.
Yeah.
And what Fede did is go, nah. Nah.
Well, what he actually did was he went for a chat with Stephen Aspel and Ridley Scott, and they were in the depths of making Don't Breathe. They were making the Prometheus Covenant movies.
Don't Breathe.
And it was a chat. It's so spicy.
Sorry.
It was a chat about what do you want to see as a fan? And he just started chatting, and he wasn't intending to pitch. He was just chatting with them, and they were like, oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
And it ended up kind of becoming a pitch. And then a couple of years later, Ridley rang him and was like, do you want to make that for like Hulu or something? Well, just straight to streaming. And this would have been a nice little standalone pocket story on streaming. And I think that's kind of where it should have stayed.
Sure.
The theatrical release and the big focus of this is the reinvigoration of Alien. This is going to be where we kick it all off again.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
Is what gives it the problem.
I hear what you're saying. I agree to an extent, right? I agree to an extent. My issue is, I've done a couple pros, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get into my issue with the film.
Are we doing meta? We're doing shit sandwich?
We're doing shit sandwich. We're doing pro, con, okay. Pro. All right, we're going to end it on a high. All right.
Yeah.
My issue with this film is,
yeah,
is that it's classic fucking Fede Alvarez again. Like, just, it's Fede strikes again, man. I swear to God.
Right.
So, he's got this fucking amazing ability to make films. He can make great films, right?
Yes.
He truly, truly can. But the story of these great films are so fucking illogical. And they just leave gaping holes everywhere. And it's like, it pulls me out of the experience. And I can't then get back into it. But and you've
always been a very, what's the word?
Logical.
Autistic.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Autistic person in that.
That works too.
If something doesn't chime with you in the story and you go, oh, I don't believe that, you can't then just move forward and go, okay, well, moving
on.
Dude,
I can
suspend belief. You're in that moment forever.
Yeah, I can suspend belief all fucking day long. Of course I can.
The second you're out of it, every little scene, you're like, that shit.
The second...
You get in a snowball moment.
That's exactly what happens to me. The second that it doesn't make sense,
yep,
even with its own rules, if I'm suspending belief and then they're like, yes, but here are the rules of the universe. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm in on this.
Mm-hmm.
And then it makes sense according to its own rules. I'm like, yes, this is fucking awesome. This is great. Okay. So Fede Alvarez has done a bunch of films, right? Evil Dead. Mm-hmm. is what he did. Evil Dead's a great horror film as a standalone thing. I think the main problem is that it's a bunch of people in a cabin with access to only one water well that's now full of heroin and going, why is everything bad happening to us? And then the bit that really gets me going is when he tries to make the dog killer the hero, and I'm like, that doesn't make sense in any fucking universe. You don't bring the dog killer back. They're dead. No. They're gone. You can't do it.
No, except Tyrannosaur, which is the exception that proves the rule.
That's an interesting one that we can't get into right now because I have a whole thing on that. Okay. But then you've got Don't Breathe. Mm-hmm. Don't Breathe is a great fucking premise for a film. Super fun idea. Until trying to imagine how the blind guy either built or hired people to build the breeding room that he has in his basement.
Yeah.
And then when there is 140 police officers around his fucking house, they've all seen the breeding room and the shelves have come and everyone is like, no, this is fine. He's just a blind man. He's the victim. That makes no fucking sense.
Everyone's got kinks, mate. All right. Don't kink shame.
Makes no
Don't
sense. Kink shame. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, super fun. The story's piss weak. It's, oh, you don't have the deed to this house of the town that these hipsters have just bought, blah, blah, blah. But it's super fun. And then you've got Romulus.
So hang about, just before you get to Romulus.
Yeah.
How do you like films like Maxine and films like Godzilla Kong? And
they stick to their own rules. It makes sense in their universe. They set their rules and they stick to them. That's it. As long as it makes sense in that universe for that fucking scenario, that's fine. In the Don't Breathe universe, we know that the police exist in a similar fashion to our universe because they're actively fighting a crime. They're helping a victim, right?
So I think it's fair to make this observation.
Yes.
I think you and I have the same issue with films, but on different subjects.
Okay.
You have to have the universe and the rules of the place be consistent. Otherwise, everything that follows is ruined.
Yes, because it's built on lies.
I always have to have the rules of how people work be consistent.
Right, okay.
Your universe, anything can happen in it.
Yeah.
Anything can happen in it. But the second that a person does something that a person wouldn't do, I'm like, well, I'm watching. What am I watching?
Yeah.
And the rest of the film is ruined.
Yes.
And it's the exact same mechanism, just different focuses.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
That's going to help immensely going forward with this show.
Yeah. I'm kind of, okay, so Fede Alvarez has done one good thing.
Right, well, for me, the people in this are consistent.
They are consistent.
They behave the way people would behave.
Sure.
And so then it's just choices that I don't like about what we're bringing in.
The only problem I have with the people is it's just fucking cannon fodder. There's no real reason for the people to be there. They're just dicks for the sake of being dicks so that they die. If Fede Alvarez said before the fucking film, they die. And I was like, then I don't care about them already. That's it. It fucking Danny Boyle did.
Danny Boyle comes up later in my
notes. He does. So, I've got fucking notes on Danny Boyle too, mate. Well, this is going to be a good one.
When Fede pitched it, he said, you know, it's just a good story with a bunch of characters you haven't seen before.
Sure.
I would have loved that. It was the fact that he then started bringing in a bunch of ideas we had seen before and a bunch of set pieces we had seen before and a bunch of dialogue we had seen before and gone, see, it's the thing. And I'm like, buddy, we needed an original story, not a remix of all the prior stories put in a little tablet.
I think at a certain point, it stops becoming an homage and it starts becoming a bit of an insult because literally Romulus is just sort of like, it's supposed to, it's more of what we love from this franchise, right? It's cunty characters getting shit minced. Fucking excellent. Yep. Incredible. It's bearable characters not grating too much on you, but making logical decisions that fit within what people would do in those situations, right? When they're faced with peril. Great fucking great stuff. The synthetic Andy being the most interesting character arc is fucking perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Becoming cold, hard, logical over everything. It adds the perfect amount of mud into the water to just keep us guessing on what the intentions are. Right up until it becomes fucking stupid. it's fucking mental. The zero gravity blood.
I love that.
Fuck right off. I swear to God, mate. All right.
I loved it.
I'm not going to get into it right now.
I had major issues with it, but the concept of it, I love.
Concept is great, but it's not how blood, it's not how liquid, fuck it. It's fine. It's fine. The Xeno catching rain as she falls down the fucking shaft with its tail and then gently placing her on a fucking ladder is mental. That's stupid.
Okay, finish your list. I can see you've got a mental, I can see it in your eye.
Thank you. a xenomorph that has been alive for 27 minutes, because I need to remind you that after the fucking chestburster scene and the small ship that they travel to the Romulus in goes off course and hits a fucking fuel engine and sends the Romulus onto a crash collision course with the icy rings of the fucking of the Jackson planet, right? They have 47 minutes until collision. Yeah?
Yes, yeah. It's a very compressed timeline. It is a very compressed
very
timeline.
Compressed
and
timeline.
It loses the benefit of in most films, the timeline is unsure. So things that perhaps are a little bit unbelievable.
Yes.
Because you're not told the timeline, you can go, well, maybe it was a week.
Yes.
You know, when they're trapped on the terraforming colony in Aliens,
yes,
you don't have a ticking clock
exactly.
That's exactly followed.
Yes.
You can kind of go, ooh, the only ticking clock that is exactly followed is stuck to. Now, he sticks to the time.
Yeah, he does.
In this film.
Yeah, he does.
But it's to the detriment of the film, because then all the things that happen
have
to happen within half an hour. And it's
not even half an hour, Rob. It's 27 minutes that the xenomorph goes from fucking chestburster scene to fully fledged xenomorph after being attacked in a womb egg.
Yes.
Right? 27 minutes that all this is going on.
Yes.
And the reason that you know it's been 27 minutes is because there is a voice announcement that says 20 minutes to impact from the 40 fucking 7 minutes before. Anyway.
Yeah.
This xenomorph is 27 minutes old and is instinctively scared of guns.
Well,
it's
yes.
scared of a bit of metal that's being pointed at it, and it's like, bitch, you have acid for blood.
Okay, so
you have a fucking pointy tail.
But then they've always been scared of guns.
Not instinctively. And in Aliens, they were like, fuck it, I'm gonna eat that shit. They weren't like, oh, hold up, boys. She's got a gun. Hold up, boys. Let's just take a breather.
Argue that they eat that shit in this one as well. You know, his idea that, oh, they're scared of guns doesn't pan out.
Fucking hate it.
You didn't enjoy the film. I get that. And I think what's happened.
That's the thing. I did enjoy the film. The experience fucked me off.
It hasn't sounded like it for the last 15 minutes, right? It's been a man shouting for 15 minutes about how bad
it
is.
There's a few bits. The logic doesn't make sense. There's a few bits.
And I think that's my thing, is it unzips your expectations from the movie. It then puts you in the critical mindset, and then anything that happens, because your belief is suspended, you then revert to human rules. You revert to our universe rules, and then everything's broken. Then just the fact that it's fiction annoys you.
I know I've been yelling, and I'm sorry for yelling, because I love seeing the xenomorphs.
Right.
I love seeing the facehuggers. I love the fact that the facehuggers were made from the weird Prometheus goo. I hated Prometheus, but also it's a fun little bit that Rook goes, yeah, but I did something cool with it. And it's like, you know what you did?
Mm-hmm.
You did something pretty fucking cool with it.
Yeah.
There's holes in the logic. The logic fucks me off. Are we genuinely to believe that Weyland-Yutani don't have a radar on board that will pick up a giant space station that's got two decades worth of weapons research that they're desperate for the next however many years?
So
in 40 years, Ripley gets sent to the fucking to another planet to pick up these fucking weapons development.
So, okay, we figured out that you don't like it. We figured out that you hate it. So what would you have done differently?
It's not that I hate it. I just needed it to make sense. That's all it was.
Right.
The bit that sticks with me is the catching of Rain when she's fallen down the elevator shaft and the xenomorph sort of catches her and gently places her on a ladder. The best thing that went through my head in that moment was, it's the end of Rain.
So this is exactly my thought. We spoke about this yesterday when we came out of cinema, and I was like, there was a brief moment where I thought the film was going to save itself by Rain just splatting, doing a Gwen, doing a Spider-Man Gwen at the bottom of the lift shaft.
Yeah.
And then Andy being revealed to be the main character all along.
Would have been fucking dope. That would have saved the film.
And it would have had priors, because that's exactly what happens in Alien 1979. So
exactly.
I was like, oh my God, they're doing it.
Yes.
They're doing the thing.
Yes.
And then you would have had this interesting dynamic of, what does Andy do now that his prime directive is no longer enforceable? Because his prime directive is do what's best for Rain. Rain is no longer there. So he's then have to figure out his own autonomy.
Exactly.
There's some sort of slavery.
There's a whole fucking... Exactly. Dude, you could have explored that for the third act of the film. It would have been fucking amazing.
Right. And it would have been, what does a synthetic who is invisible to these aliens see as a threat when this isn't relevant to him? It doesn't have to be relevant to him anymore.
Exactly.
He's an unnatural thing against a natural predator. It would have been beautiful.
Yeah.
unfortunately, I think we're old men shouting at clouds. I've said it before.
Mm-hmm.
Every single younger person that I've spoken to loves this movie.
Mm.
They love it. Mm-hmm. This is a well-reviewed movie.
Great.
95% of the people that clicked on this episode enjoy this film.
Yeah, and I'm glad you do. I'm genuinely, genuinely glad that people fucking enjoy this.
It's fine. They're not listening anymore, Ben. They're long gone.
Well, good riddance. Sucks. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
They will have, like, they saw the original movies ages ago.
Yeah.
Like, we've watched all of them. We've gone through the mainline series.
Yeah.
If I spoke to one of the young people that I work with at the restaurant, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, have you seen the old ones? They're like, yeah, man, I've seen Prometheus loads.
Mm-hmm.
That's what old Alien is to them. And 1979 and Aliens, Alien 3, Alien Resurrection,
yeah.
they might have seen bits of.
Yeah, yeah.
When parents have shown them. They didn't find the latter day stuff problematic. They didn't find it, you know, they found it fun. They found it scary. They found it weird. And for them, this is a new taste.
Yeah, of course.
This original 1979 Alien juice getting injected into Prometheus. They're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this fits really great. What an original idea.
Yeah. Right? And fucking, that's awesome. That's genuinely fucking awesome. I'm jealous of those people the same way that I'm jealous of religious people with the faith. I would fucking, right. I would love to have that faith. The only thing is I'm snapped out of it when it comes to my own internal workings of logic, right? And I'm not saying that it's illogical to be religious. Like, I'm just... You know what I mean? For me personally, it has to make sense in a certain way for me to like fully buy into anything.
Totally, totally, anything. Totally. I get that. But this is the experience of being an Alien fan. If you liked Alien 1979 and you saw it when it came out and you're a huge fan, by the time Aliens comes out, you're like, well, that's not Alien because it's not a horror.
Yeah, 1,000%.
It's an action movie.
Yeah.
And then you'd come out, if you saw Aliens in the cinema, you'd see Alien 3 and you go, but Newton Hicks are dead.
Yeah.
And that was my Alien.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you'd come out of seeing Alien 3 and you go into Alien Resurrection. You go, but Ripley's fucking dead.
Yeah. No, I agree. And then you'd watch Prometheus and be sort of like, I don't understand what the fuck I've just watched. And you'd be right.
Right.
You would be right.
I think the unifying experience of watching an Alien film is going in, having your expectations violated, and 15 years later going, oh, actually.
Not that bad.
And I wonder if that's what you're going to do. I wonder if you're going to go,
it's never going to make sense to me.
Yeah, it's never going to make sense. But Resurrection doesn't make sense. Alien 3 doesn't make sense. Why have you killed him off at the front? Oh, because we want to focus on Rip. Okay. Do you, though? Like, I love Alien 3. It's my favorite Alien movie.
I can still say
that now.
Still baffles me. The reason I like Alien Resurrection
is the tone.
Yes.
Right.
Because it doesn't give a fuck about itself. It's like, we're all here to do one job, and that's take the piss out of what we're doing. So let's just have fun with it. Let's throw some basketball scenes in it. Fuck it. Why not?
Right.
And they have fun with it. It's tongue in cheek. It's goofy. It's stupid. It knows what it is. It's self-aware.
Right. I think for a new generation of people who've not seen the films that we have, because they're not 35-year-old men shouting at clouds.
Yeah, of course.
They're 16, 17-year-olds going to the cinema for their first time. I think they've not seen Trainspotting. They've never seen a baby crawl on a ceiling. This is their first baby crawling on a ceiling film. All right?
Is that your Danny Boyle link?
Yeah, because Danny Boyle was approached to do Alien Resurrection and he said, the only special effect I've ever done is a baby crawling on a ceiling.
Yeah.
And I, for one, rate Fede for picking up that link.
Okay.
He obviously listens to the show.
He does.
Added that late in the game. That's why it's in there, Ben. That's why the fifth act of this film is so weird.
Because
Fede heard our podcast and went, oh yeah, baby on the ceiling. I'm going to do that.
Sick. I took that as Fede calling Danny Boyle out, you know.
Right.
I took that as Fede looking at Danny Boyle's career, be like, spoiling your own film by saying that everyone's dead. Easy done, mate. Easy done. But you know what?
I'm going to spoil my own film by adding a fifth act.
I'm not going to be a pussy about this. I'm going to make the Alien Resurrection that you couldn't.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a baby on the ceiling. I'm going to make the Alien Resurrection. Also, everyone's dead. There you go, mate. Pure Danny Boyle, fuck you.
I tell you who the biggest victim of this film is, though. Speaking of baby on the ceiling.
Go on.
You know, the newborn at the end of this movie is
oh my God.
Is not a practical effect. It's a man. It's a man whose body is like that.
Yeah.
And all the reviews are like, oh, that monster at the end is disgusting, terrifying nightmare fuel.
Absolute mess of human waste right. mixed in with alien disgustingness. Oh, it's so fucking gross.
That's a man who is 7 foot
seven.
Seven tall.
Yeah.
And he's called Robert Borowski.
Nailed it.
Sorry, Robert.
Nailed it.
You're having a bad enough week as it is with these reviews.
I was going to say, right. man, can you imagine just sort of like being Bob in this point and then Fede's just sitting across the table being like, I'd maybe skip the reviews on this one, Bob. I'd maybe give this one a miss. You know what I mean?
And when you Google him, just you know, listeners, Google Alien Romulus Newborn Actor. He's a basketball player. You know, he's had a successful basketball career.
Yeah.
And it's literally just him in a suit.
But it's it's one of the best practical effects in the film. And I've seen a few behind the scenes things of them making the like an animatronic xenomorph, and it's fucking incredible.
Mm.
I'm not sure if I can find it, but if I can find it, I'll put it in our Discord. It's a full breakdown of it going from conception to like fully fledged.
Right, okay.
All singing, all dancing. And it's an amazing transition of what they've done. Like pure feat of cinematic genius. Incredible.
Nice.
And the creature design in this film, fucking spot on. Holy shit, was it good to see the facehuggers acting the way that they did.
Oh, yeah.
The two little fucking legs at the front acting as like little pincer type things, like spider, but also with the weird fuck off like stinger tail.
Yeah.
Disgusting, but amazing.
And I think this is my point, is that the alternative to Alien Romulus
mm-hmm.
is no alien films.
No, it's Alien Remus, and it's directed by Danny Boyle.
Okay, fair point. I get that this film is logically inconsistent. I get that it folds in a bunch of stuff that doesn't make sense.
It does.
And I get that I don't necessarily... This is not the film I wanted.
Same.
It's so far from the film I wanted. I wanted a nice, tidy reinvigoration. Just a remake it by another name with a different crew. Just to get that concept back into cinema with modern effects. And being effective, like the one xenomorph being an effective monster again, would have just tickled my pickle all the way.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that. But I did get a flock, a gaggle,
a colony,
a clusterfuck,
an army, a clusterfuck.
A clusterfuck of facehuggers.
A clusterfuck of facehuggers. Right. That's the new name.
Just slapping wet face.
Yeah.
I got an incredible xenomorph.
Incredible
xenomorph. I got a really good...
Even if it is only 27 minutes old, it looked fucking banging. You know what I mean?
It looked gorgeous. I wasn't down with a lightning head, but fuck it. Do you know what I mean?
I wasn't down with catching your prey and putting it on a ladder so you can sniff it a bit. You know what I mean? But that's fine. Who am I to judge? I don't know a xenomorph's fucking motives.
It's just, it's disappointing. But I'm glad it's out there. I'm glad that it's successful. And I'm glad that there are people out there discovering this franchise for the first time, having a wonderful time with it. And they'll go back. And it doesn't have to be for me because I'm old and I've had my time with the franchise.
This is it.
I had decades with
it. This is it. I'm with you 1,000% here, because as much as I've been like pissed off about the logic and all of this stuff, and my love hate, the thing that's annoyed me the most is I wanted to be wrong about Fede in this film. I wanted him to prove me wrong. And when he didn't, I was like, well, now I'm just, I don't know if my ego can take this bump. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't trust it enough as it is, but.
You're a hater. There's now officially a man in the world who you hate. You carry that around with you. You go to work of a day and it's just a little bit of your heart that's got hate in it.
For Fede.
For a man that just...
Who doesn't know I exist.
That just picks your franchises so you can just do a little poop in them.
Yeah, he literally picks everything I know and love and just shits on it. Literally, it's going to get to Christmas and he's just... my sister's going to go and be like, I made a new mate. Who is it? Fede. And he just shows up with like a fishing net over my sister being like, ruined Christmas. The thing that I'm like insanely excited about is the fact that people are seeing Alien for the first time.
Yeah.
They're getting into this franchise for the first time and they don't need to watch the rest of the franchise to be into it, because Fede speedruns every other film that exists in the first four acts of this film. Which is great.
But also retroactively, things will make more sense.
Exactly, you know? Man.
Alien Resurrection, they'll be like, oh no, I get that. That's not a weird left of field thing.
Because it would have already been like, they're like, okay, that's canon then. And it'll be a fun time for them. It's going to be nothing but uphill. Even Alien 3 is going to be uphill for the people that are discovering Alien right now.
How dare you?
Not dare me.
Alien 3 is the peak.
Alien 3 is the fucking peak of summit.
Yeah.
It's the peak of summit. It's the peak of the trough. All right.
I don't think you like Alien, Ben.
I love Alien.
I think you like two films.
I like three films.
Three films out of 15.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, I like Alien vs. Predator as well. Those are fucking stupid. I like them.
Okay.
They make no sense and mean nothing to anyone.
It feels a little bit like you're a Metallica fan, just going like, yeah, they got that one good album.
They got a couple.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I'm not really a Metallica fan, though. I love Alien. I love Aliens. I love Alien Resurrection. Mm-hmm. I like Alien vs. Predator because it's stupid and it like independently takes the piss out of two franchises that I really like.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun thing. It's the same reason that I like Freddy versus Jason. It's a it's a throwaway film that means nothing to either of them, but it's just a stupid, oh yeah, but imagine.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's that.
So I feel like we just covered Ty West's X, Pearl and Maxine trilogy.
We have.
And I feel like your experience watching this film mm-hmm. was my experience watching Maxine. The first half of it, you've got a set of expectations. Ooh. And then halfway through it goes, no.
Oh, that's quite a good analogy, actually. Kinda.
And that's how I felt. It's that thing of like, I'm set up, you're doing the thing.
Yeah.
And then whilst I'm eating this meal, mm-hmm. you take it away and you give me something that I'm allergic to.
Yeah.
And then go, you liked it, right? And I'm like, in parts.
Parts of it. The good mouthfeel. Good mouthfeel.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at. And it's fine, because the film's not for me. The film's not for me. It's for everyone else that's going to go and fucking enjoy the Alien franchise for the first time. And Fede's knocked out the fucking park for those people. So fair play. He smashed it. He did the same thing for The Evil Dead. He was like, you know, here's a really gruesome fucking horror film for the mm-hmm. horror fans. And it was like, yep, super gory horror movie, great horror movie.
Yeah.
Just not for me. Not my Evil Dead. And that's fine. That's completely fine. I'm going to go watch this film again.
Are you?
Because I need to.
Okay.
Yeah, I need to. I need to support it more. I think as much as the logic doesn't make sense to me, it's a fucking rip-roaring good time.
Yeah.
There's some great deaths. There's some stupid shit where I'm like, and it makes no fucking sense, and that's fine. I can enjoy myself in different ways. I think the most important thing is that Alien's being made.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Alien's being made, man. We're like living it. This is it.
I don't want this to be the last episode.
Fuck no, it can't.
Of our podcast.
It cannot.
About the Alien franchise.
It cannot. Categorically cannot. I'm going to go support the shit out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Although Fede has already teased a pitch for an Alien versus Predator movie, which I swear to God, I think he might nail, because those films already ruined the franchises for me, so he might nail that one. I mean, that might be my Fede movie, you know what I mean?
I feel like Fede is so hated by you, probably because every franchise he touches, he claims to love deeply.
That's the worst. He's a fucking incredible filmmaker that just shits on my entire personality. So, yeah, do you know what I mean?
I think there's a little bit where it's like, he doesn't know my franchise well enough
mm-hmm.
to not get the basic facts right.
Yeah.
But he's allowed to make movies. Why aren't I allowed to make movies? Because I know this franchise better than he does.
But he is hands down a fucking incredible filmmaker, and no one can say anything different. He's insanely good at making films. It's just the storytelling.
Yeah.
His storytelling lets me down, but other people love it, and that's awesome.
He should go in the Blomkamp pile of people who should direct films they haven't written.
We almost had a fucking Blomkamp Alien and we got this shit instead. Are we being serious? You've just brought that into my head now. Right, fuck the shit sandwich. I'm ending on this. Where's Blomkamp's Alien? I want the alien with the fucking goggles on. I want the weird robotic shit to come into it. Where the fuck is Blomkamp?
I want that film.
Yeah.
Only to spite you, because when you see it, you'll hate it. And I'll go, fucking see? I told you Blomkamp was shit.
Nah. Let's set the next alien. Let's give Blomkamp the next Alien movie and let's set it in the Sims world that was demonic.
Oh,
let's do that.
God.
They travel via headgear into the Sims.
No.
Let's do, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then it turns out they're just in Alien Isolation. Holy shit.
I want to see what an Oculus Rift or a Vive mm-hmm. looks like for a Xenomorph. How long is that strap?
Yes. Yes. How many extenders do Amazon need to sell to one Xenomorph? Let's go. I'm in for it.
We don't have time for Comic Corner this week. We've got time for something far more special.
We do.
There is a friend of ours who has helped us immensely with this show. They run the Instagram account called Alien the Eighth Passenger. And if you've listened to any of this series, you've heard them before. But let me say, if you are into Alien, This is the Instagram.
He's the guy to go to.
And
yeah,
this is the last time we're going to hear from him for a while.
And this makes me very sad because A, his voice is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It is like listening to fucking velvet. And the fact that he is an absolute legend when it comes to the Alien franchise. I have looked at this guy's account more times than I care to admit when it comes to researching our episodes, right? Because there is so much information that's just readily available,
yeah,
and it's all cool little insights that you wouldn't normally expect, and he just has it out there ready for you. He does it for fun. It's fucking incredible. Love him.
Here is what he had to say about Alien Romulus.
Wacko.
I wasn't asking you, Carducci. I was asking the expert.
Hello, dear friends of Every Movie Ever. Alien Romulus has finally arrived, and I have mixed feelings about it. I really liked it and enjoyed it, but I didn't love it as much as I would have liked. So these are my thoughts. I'll start by saying it's a pretty effective movie. It has everything an alien movie should have. Lots of tension, impressive horror and action scenes. The art design, production, sound, and visual effects are top-notch. The facehuggers and xenomorphs look spectacular. And having practical effects back is like a breath of fresh air. You can tell how much respect Fede Alvarez has for the saga, both as a director and as a fan as well. My biggest issue, I think, is the story. I feel it somewhat weak, though it has some great contributions. There were a few surprises for me, especially in the second half, and how they resolve some situations, I found it quite predictable. The third act, which has been very controversial, I won't spoil. I'll just say I really liked it. I think it's where they took the most risks, and personally, it's what I would have loved to see more of throughout the film. Finally, I think the most important aspect of the movie is how well it fits into the alien world. It works on its own, but as a homage at the same time, while it's still making its own contributions, which is very difficult to achieve. It's definitely a great addition to the saga. People are loving it, and it's getting a very good reviews as well. Let's hope it does well at the box office, because that would mean we see more xenomorphs in the big screen. I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. That's my rating. Lastly, I want to thank you guys for the invitation. I know this is the last episode of the Alien series. It's been a great honor to collaborate with you. Alien the 8th Passenger here, signing off.
What a fucking sweetheart.
Incredible.
What an absolute sweetheart. I love that man so fucking much.
Yeah.
I'm gonna miss having him in as the fucking Ask the Expert. Well, you know what I mean?
You say that, but I've got a confession to make, Ben.
Go on.
Our new series after Alien.
Yeah.
We've already started it, mate.
What are we doing for it?
Well, there's one director in this franchise for whom his entry represents the very first entry he ever made.
Fincher.
David fucking Fincher.
Ooh,
we're
okay.
Going to do every David Fincher movie ever.
Okay, I am so down for this. Also, quick side thought.
Yeah.
The Crow remake is about to come out.
Oh, you want to do a summer of shit, eh? You want to do... Because Romulus didn't make you angry enough. You're going to just full mainline.
I want to mainline it. I want to fucking eyeball the what have you done to my movies.
Okay. So how about this? We do a late summer, early autumn,
yeah,
of incredible films by David Fincher.
Yes.
And some stuff at the cinema that we don't know how it got a sequel. Or why it has a sequel.
Perfect.
Right?
Let's do that. Yeah, fuck it. Let's do the Crow. Can we do the Crow next then?
Let's do the Crow next week. We'll just be able to fit it in. Yeah, buddy. Perfect.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll do the Crow. We'll do Fincher. We've got more surprises planned, but they're surprises, so.
Yeah. Keep your eyes peeled this week for a special surprise midweek.
That's all we're going to tell you. It's special. It's a surprise. It's midweek.
Yeah.
Ben.
Yes, mate.
What you, I don't know why I'm asking this. What are you going to rate Alien Romulus, Ben?
Four. Rating it a four.
Wow.
All of those points are for the filmmaking aspects. They're fucking... Right. Actually, no. I'm going to do a five.
Right.
Because it's a great fucking film. from a filmmaker's perspective.
Right.
It's it looks great. It sounds great. It's fucking gorgeous, the end to end.
Mm-hmm.
It loses all 5 points because of the piss weak story and all of the massive gaping holes in the logic that make no fucking sense whatsoever. But also, it looks very good though.
Nice shit sandwich there, buddy.
Thanks, man. What are you rating it?
I'm gonna go with seven.
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 Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't get annoyed with the universe not making sense. I get annoyed with people not making sense. The people in this, as thin as they are, make perfect sense. There are parts of the subtext that are raised and then never picked up. There are set pieces that are wasted. There's lots wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just so happy to see big screen Xenomorphs again.
Yeah, to be fair.
Being scary.
And facehuggers, man.
And a gaggle, a clusterfuck of... A
clusterfuck of facehuggers.
Just that alone. I'm just happy. I'm happy it's back. And I know it's not perfect. It's pretty fucking far from perfect. But maybe we'll get there. Maybe we'll get there.
But it's fucking fun. You know what I mean? And that's what matters at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, guys, that is all the time we have for you this week. We love and appreciate each and every one of you from the bottom of our hearts.
We really do.
Make sure you go check us out on our socials. We're on Insta, TikTok, fucking Discord. Join our Discord.
Mm.
Super fun times to be had.
In the meantime, Ben is going to thank you for spending an hour of your week with us, especially at the start of the week. I know a lot of you listen on a Monday.
Yeah.
So Ben's going to turn this into a little Monday motivation pep talk by summing up the thoughts, themes and feelings of this movie into something you can carry with you to help you get through those tough times.
Yeah.
I'm just going to tell you to consume.
Listen, if you're being held in a place and you're trying to escape, you've done all your fucking hours, you're like, oh, I can finally get to Ivarga, and some pencil pushing dickhead is like, nah mate, doubled your fucking hours, see you in 6 years. Ignore them. You know what I mean? They don't have radars. They don't even know that there's a fucking space station above their head with 2 decades worth of weapons research that they spend the next 500 years trying to fucking get back. They don't give a shit. Just go. Do your thing, man. Live your fucking dreams. You know what I mean? Ivarga's waiting for you. Ivarga's waiting for you. Not a single fucking radar.